9:05, welcome back to the Chad Hastie Show on News Talk 790 KFYO, online at KFYO.com. Don't forget to download the Radio Pup app for your iPhone, Android phone. You can listen to the show wherever you go. Crystal clear audio there on the absolutely free app. First voice you hear from when you dial into today's program, very talented Ariel Walden on the other side, 770-5790, toll free, 1-800-687-0790. Joining me right now to talk about his campaign for Lieutenant Governor, one of the very big races here in the state of Texas with a very crowded field, Land Commissioner Jerry Patterson joins us here on the program. Commissioner Patterson, welcome.
Well, good to be here. Thanks for the opportunity to talk to you and your listeners. Sorry to say viewers, but I guess that won't work here, Lord.
Well, I appreciate you giving us a call today. This is a very crowded field. Who are running for Lieutenant Governor, and obviously you have some issues with the current Lieutenant Governor. That's why you jumped into the race. It's a very high profile race. Tell us some of the issues that you have had with Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst and why you decided to jump into this race.
Well, I guess the best way of describing it is shelf life. Every politician has a shelf life. And, you know, if you're a land commissioner, you could be land commissioner for 40 years and nobody knows that we even have a general land office. So it's a very long shelf life. But if you're Lieutenant Governor or Governor or Mayor or President, your shelf life is much shorter. And I think David has reached his shelf life. There reaches a point where you no longer have the ability to motivate, to inspire, and to lead because of things that you've done in the past or things that you've mishandled. The most important ingredient to leadership is to have the respect of those that you wish to lead. I think that's been lost to some extent. So in a nutshell, that's why I seek to replace David, and I think we're going to be able to do that.
What was the lack of leadership, I guess, was the final straw the night of the filibuster with Wendy Davis, or had it been building up to that point?
Well, I think it's been building up. I mean, the worst kind of politician or the worst kind of public servant or elected official in the world is one who wishes to please everybody. You know, he'll give you sincerely a yes on the particular issue, I'm in agreement with you, and then the other viewpoint comes across his desk or comes before him, and he goes, he has a yes with him. You have to be able to make decisions. You have to be able to tell somebody, you know, respectfully, I disagree, and I'm not with you on this, and avoid trying to please everyone. And I think one of the current Lieutenant Governor's weaknesses is that he's interested in pleasing everyone, which is affliction of politics and politicians. A good person in office is one who will look you in the eye, tell you where he is, what he believes in, and if you disagree, just say, well, we respectfully disagree.
Let's say you were Lieutenant Governor in this past legislative session. How would things have worked differently? What other issues would have been brought up? What issues that were brought up maybe would have been we're not going to go there?
We would have passed campus carry, period, end of discussion, and it will pass in my first session as Lieutenant Governor. It is bizarre to somehow uphold a law that says a 21-year-old or older college student who's got a concealed handgun license, have the background check, have the training, you know, FBI backgrounds, all of that, can carry directly across the campus, but all of a sudden when they cross the street and get on campus, they become some kind of inherently violent, irresponsible, shoot-em-up, crazed kid. If a 21-year-old or older, if a college kid is too irresponsible to carry a handgun, they shouldn't be carrying anywhere.
Right.
So campus carry will pass. I'm a proponent of open carry as well. I mean, 100 years ago, criminals carried concealed. The honest man carried openly. And then the other things as well. We've made some progress, and I have to give credit where credit is due, on some issues such as water, but we need much more to be done. We don't have a water plan in Texas. We have a water wish list that totals about $52 billion from the different regional planning districts, and water is the big issue that will curtail Texas' continued prosperity. And folks up there in your listening area know it better than the folks down here in Southeast Texas, where we have it plentiful. Also, the abortion discussion and the debate on the bill That would not have occurred under my watch because I would not have passed the bill out of the Senate without the 20-week provision. It would have been in there, and therefore the House could have passed it. It would have gone to the governor for signature. Instead of passing that bill after having removed the 20-week prohibition, and then the House puts it back in, it comes back to the Senate for concurrence and House amendments, and Wendy becomes the icon that she is. So, yeah, that's in a nutshell, I guess.
Visiting with Jerry Patterson, running for lieutenant governor here in the state of Texas. Let's take a look at spending. This legislative session was criticized by many conservatives for spending way too much money. That, yes, the money was available, but that doesn't mean you have to spend every single last dime. Were you among those who were critical of the amount of spending that went on?
Well, I'm critical of wasted money. And I have to tell you, when you take and compare a prior biennium spending to the, you know, the current biennium spending, that's not a good comparison. You need to measure spending over 10 trailing years and to really get a good indication of whether it's going up or going down. It's got to be trended because, for example, if you're in your household, let's assume that, you know, you got two breadwinners and one of you loses your job. What happens is you immediately curtail a whole bunch of spending and your expenditures go down possibly 25%. And now when in the next year, when you that person who lost their job gets their job, your expenditures may go up 25% back to what they were. So you have to measure that. And the reason I'm aware of this is I manage the permanent school fund, and we determine our returns based upon the 10 trailing quarters. We don't just say, okay, man, we really had a great quarter last quarter, so we're going to pay out a lot of money to the available school fund. We say, no, let's look at the trend. So you got to look at the trends. There are ways to save money, particularly in transportation. And for example, I mean, it's kind of detailed, but, you know, we have a design, bid, build methodology. We need to go to a design, build. It cuts time. It saves money. I'm kind of rambling here, but there's ways to save money in government, in state government, and I'm going to implement those ways, such as in transportation.
I think there was one area that surprised some Republicans, some conservatives out there, and maybe all Texans, that immigration really wasn't an issue in this past legislative session. I know on your website you do mention immigration and that you want to take some steps towards immigration and the border. Tell us your plan as far as immigration goes and as lieutenant governor, how you would push that process along.
Well, first of all, I oppose the current legislation that's in Washington in the Congress. It's my opinion we need to wait till we get a control of the U.S. Senate before we even consider any immigration reform, because anything that comes out of the current Congress is not going to be favorable. We need to look at some things that don't make sense. For example, unconditional birthright citizenship. It's my understanding we're one of the few nations, you know, developed nations that has unconditional birthright citizenship. I don't know that was what was intended when the 14th Amendment was passed. The 14th Amendment had to do with slavery and saying that anyone who was born here was a citizen. We also need to look at why do we have bilingual ballots? I tell people when I bring that issue up, so you know what my name is on, for example, the Spanish language ballot when you go vote? It's Jerry Patterson. You know what it is on the English language ballot? It's Jerry Patterson. How hard could this be? It's the more we make it easier for folks not to assimilate, the more we end up having more than one culture. And don't get me wrong. I think folks who are of a different culture, whether they're Polish, whether they're Tejanos, whether they're, you know, whatever it may be, Cajuns, it's a wonderful thing to preserve your culture. It's a wonderful thing to be able to speak another language. But we are all Americans first. And our immigration platform program should look at three things: border security, immigration reform, and assimilation. They all go together. You can't, it's kind of a cop-out for folks that say, well, we need to secure our borders first before we do immigration reform. No, we need to do them both at the same time because they're interrelated. You can't have one without the other. What I will also tell you is that last June of 2012, the Republican Party of Texas adopted overwhelmingly, after about 2 hours of debate, a immigration plan called the Texas Solution. And I was the only politician that would speak in favor of it.
the Texas solution. If you go to my website, votepatterson.com, click on issues, click on immigration, you'll see it all laid out there. But the Texas solution calls for a guest worker program that is not a path to citizenship, that is not amnesty, and that passed the Republican Party platform. Yeah, so there's some detail on my website about immigration. VotePatterson.com.
Visiting with Jerry Patterson right now. As far as your background goes, and going from land commissioner and you hope to lieutenant governor, what do you think separates you from those besides lieutenant governor, the current lieutenant governor? But you've got some other big names that are running in this race. What do you think separates you from those other candidates?
The ability to lead, to motivate, to inspire, and to hold, to obtain and maintain the respect of the 31 members of the Senate. I mean, you know, I grew up in Houston. I went to A&M. Don't hold that against me. you know, and then I went in the Marine Corps. I spent 24 years in the Marine Corps as an officer for 24 years, 10 years active, 14 reserve. I served a tour in Vietnam at the end of the war. I flew fighters. I was an infantry platoon commander at one time, a battery commander. I mean, I've had leadership experience. And then when I was in the Senate, my 6 years in the Texas Senate, I led on controversial issues. I was the author of the Texas Concealed Handgun Law in 1993 when Ann Richards vetoed it, and then again in 95. I have the ability to sell people on positions and on that they didn't think much of. And I give you the two examples of home equity lending constitutional amendment that I passed in 1997 and the Concealed Handgun Law. We need people who can sell, and I can do that.
Visiting with Jerry Patterson, you can vote. You can visit his website, votepatterson.com. Commissioner Patterson, I appreciate your time today, and we'll speak again during this primary season.
Thank you, Chad.
Have a good one.
All right, talk to you all later. Bye-bye.
That is Jerry Patterson.